Hallelujah. I'm believing that we are not hanging on in these last days. Is this plugged into back here? The fan? There we go. Okay. Hey, got quiet up here. I don't believe that we're hanging on. I don't believe that we're going to barely make it. I believe that we're in for the best days of our lives. We just got to be ready to go. Amen. We got to be ready to move when God says move. So that's our journey through Acts. Is if the early church was doing it, then we need to not just be doing it, but we need to be doing it at a higher level. Not out of competitiveness, but just simply the fact that at the end of days, there's supposed to be the increase, not the same as. And so if the early church was doing it, you know, there's a lot of what's going on in the early, what went on in the early church, that's not really going on anymore. Or that's just going on sparingly. And so we need to be hungry about increasing and going after all that God has for us. Now, 2 weeks ago, we closed out Acts chapter 19. And at the end of my message, I said, we'll take a gander. We'll see at the if over this week if the Holy Spirit has something else for us to minister on. And as I was preparing last week, the only thing I could see was what we shared last week. And it was just the first three. And it was talking about temptations, tests, and trials. And if you haven't heard that message yet, go into chapter or go on our website. Actually, that one, if you want to just do audio, go into our website. If you go to YouTube, because I just real timely. I just believe it was really a timely message that temptations, tests, and trials are not weird. Don't think yourself weird that you're going through some trials. That in order on your way to the manifestation, there's going to be some temptations, tests, and trials. But that's all I could see. Well, I last night as I was just kind of, you know, sitting with my pad of paper and my word and my Bible, my iPad, I just like, okay, Lord, I'm going to just read through this quickly, and if anything grabs me, I'll stop. But I fully anticipated on nothing grabbing me. All right. I figured we're starting on chapter 20 today. And I'm just not even lying on this. About two or three verses later, this one statement hit me. And I was like, no, I'll cast that down vain imaginations. Right. I'm not going to focus on that. And guess what? I kept reading on and I could not move on. I had to come back. So that's where we're going to be at tonight. Let's start in Acts 19. Let's see here. Oh, let's start just verse 23. And this is where we kind of left off last week. And at the same time, there arose no small stir about the way. So in other words, there was contention that rose up. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines. There's a Sally sells seashores, but he's a silversmith that makes silver shrines. For Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsman. In other words, it brought great gain to the craftsman. Whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, Sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Now we know that Demetrius rose up the clatter and made a problem there and was the situation, but that's as far as I got. And for some of y'all, you're going, how did that get your attention? Well, I read it in the NASB. Now, again, teachers, ministers don't have to have an excuse of why something catches their attention because when you're ready to preach and you're asking the Holy Spirit, the revelator is on the inside of you showing you some stuff. But go to verse 24 and let's do this in the NASB. And I'll just show you what got my attention. And I almost moved on because I thought, no, surely he doesn't want me to talk about that tonight. And then he does. But it says, for a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, was bringing no little business to the craftsmen. Verse 24, 5. These he gathered together with the workmen of similar trades and said, this was his quote, men, you know that our prosperity depends on this business. And I don't know if you have any of you that sticks out at, but that stuck out to me like a sore thumb, that he said, men, you know that our prosperity depends on this business. I understand that what he's saying is that the business of silver in Diana's temple was dependent upon, was how they made their living, and that their prosperity, their increase, was determined by people buying the silver that was in the gift shops in Diana's temple. But what came to me the second I read that was how many of us would say the same thing? My prosperity comes from my job. If I work hard enough, long enough, if I save enough, then I'll have prosperity. How many Christians would simply say this about their job or their occupation? Y'all, men, you know that my prosperity depends on my business. I know you guys seem like you're getting excited here. In other words, for far too many people, their jobs, or sometimes it can be family, But certain things are their sources. And beloved, the Word of God makes it overwhelmingly clear that there is to be nothing besides God that is our source. That when we think in terms of, well, if I were to lose my job, if I were to, if my, you know, if I were to change my job, or maybe it can be this way, I'm not prospering today because of my job. If my boss would be a little bit more promotion minded, then I could be prosperous. Then I could have a lot of wealth. If my boss, if my coworker wasn't always trying to scratch the back of the boss, then I could get a promotion instead of them getting a promotion all the time. And that mentality, beloved, is one of the main reasons why prosperity or the blessings of God keep missing the body of God, Christ, because we even though we love Him, are called by His name, are dreaming dreams on His, our job or this world is still our source for increase. It's still our source for more than enough. I actually have this quote for the last thing, but I saw this quote as I was studying, that God is my source, but everything else is just a resource for Him to bless me. It's not my source. He's my source. My job is a resource. An inheritance of a gun as a resource. The things that you have in your life, a tax return or an investment, those are resources that God uses to bless you, but they cannot be your source. Now, go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians 8. We're going to dig in here, and we're going to see it time and time again. I thought, oh, I'll look up a couple scriptures. And by the time I was done, I mean, I had so many that I had to kind of narrow them down. My dad always had the quote, and you guys have heard this. If you've heard it once, you've heard it 1,000 times, even from me. But my dad had a way of understanding in scripture is that you work for a giving, but you give for the living. Because when you work for a living, then your job is your source. But when you work for the giving, then that shows that God is your source. And again, we'll see it here. That's an amazing goal to have. I call it living on the overflow. One of the things that I work really hard at doing in my ministry, because the temptation can be is to study a subject until you have enough for a sermon, and then when you're preaching all your material. You're preaching everything. You're emptying the gun, right? The chamber's empty when you're done because you've emptied it out. And one of the main things that I really work on doing is that even after I have a message ready, I study. Even that's one of the reasons why when I'm on a series, sometimes that series can grow because you say, "Did you not cover this last week?" Yeah, but I was preaching on the overflow. And so we're wading in the water. You understand? If your bathtub overflows, you can still step out of the bathtub and be in water, right? And so a lot of my messages, I'll get the sermon ready, and then I'll just keep reading or keep listening or keep doing stuff like that, and I have overflow. I have more than I can give you. And yeah, sometimes that means really long sermons because sometimes I try to give you everything I have and sometimes I can't give you everything I have. Tonight, I'm not going to be able to give you everything I have because I've got so much, but I just kept preparing. Beloved, that's how we need to live life. Not just enough to pay our bills and then maybe bless somebody, but that we have enough to bless other people, and with the harvest and with the increase, and as God as our source, we take care of everything of ours. Now listen, I am well aware that that's a hard way to start out. Very few people in this place are probably in that place of living from the overflow, where you get paid and then your paycheck goes to sow seed and then the harvest that comes in is what pays your bill. But I believe that's the ultimate way that God wants us to live. Is that when we get paid, the first thing that we say is, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Amen. I'm not telling anybody in this room not to pay your bills, okay? If you say, and you're like, I didn't pay my bill because Pastor Thad told me I should. No, I didn't. I told you this needs to be our goal, and we need to be working our way towards making sure that God is our source. Now, 1 Corinthians 8, let's get in this thing. Verse 6, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Version. If I read both versions, I'll just end up running out of time. So, but it says, yet for us, there is only one God, the Father, who is the source of all things for whom we have life and one Lord Jesus. So I could read on there, but simply it says, God the Father is the source of all things. He's the source. Now again, in Him we live and move and have our being. In Him, all the earth's rotate on their axis. In Him, everything that is. In Him, that is a fact. But here, it just simply says it like this. He is the source of all things. Not your job. Not your family, not your wife, not your kids. Not those things. Not your bank account. when the temptation comes of, Pastor, have you seen gas prices? Pastor Thad, have you seen inflation? Pastor Thad, have you seen this? Have you seen that? When the temptation comes to try to figure out what's going to happen to your source, to say, what am I going to do? We need to get our minds readjusted to the fact that our natural source can fail. I know that nobody likes to hear that. Last week I felt total, I don't want to say I felt under pressure, but I could feel the devil whispering in my ear the whole service, all you're doing is discouraging everybody, talking about battles. Pastor Lisa immediately told me afterwards, she said, that encouraged me. She said, I was so excited when you started down that. I was like, yeah, that's exciting. Well, again, there's a lot of, you start talking about this, about, you're telling me my job could fail? Yeah, because if the job is based on this, and that's why God, that's why we listen to the voice of the Spirit, that's why we walk in His wisdom to move when He tells us to move, to stay when He tells us to stay. But the point I'm trying to say is that God as your source will never fail. Your job, your family is not enough. God is the source of all things. Gloria Copeland says it like this, that heaven's economy is always a good economy. And so we're not based on this economy that changes. See, heaven's economy is never met with inflation. It's always good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's always dealing with more than enough. The God of the overflow. Now, King David understood this. Go over to Psalm. Let's look at Psalm a couple places. But I want you to see here that this is foundational, this is root of the whole Word of God, is that God is our source. And that any other way of thinking about this, if we go back to thinking like what Demetrius said, that our prosperity depends on this business. I've looked, you know, and I'll say this, you know, about Jessica with her job. We made up our mind years ago when she got her RN degree. There's a lot of people that were like, you need to drive over to Lexington and get a job in the hospitals over there because they pay more. My guess is that the hospitals in Lexington back when you first started were paying what? Close to maybe even more than what St. Clair is even paying now, and they've raised their rates a lot. And Jesse, I said, we can do whatever, but it seems like, you know, driving and all that kind of stuff. And on top of that, God's called us to this city. She said, He has. She said, I'm going to work here. And so she started working at St. Clair because God called us here. She didn't chase the money. She didn't chase that. And for a long time, she was really underpaid. But over the course of the past couple years, she's had raises that were out of the ordinary. I mean, I'm not going to give more details than that, but she's had these raises that were like people going, hey, you deserve more. We're going to give you more. And she's like, okay. To where the common might be 2%, she wasn't getting 2%. It was more than that. And it was crazy. But see, she decided that I'm not chasing after the money. I'm going to stay in where God called me, do what God called me to do, and I'm going to let God take care of the details. And sometimes there can be a wait. But you know what happens in the wait? That's where patience is worked. It's where consistency is built. That's where you find out what you really believe, in the wait. Amen. The wait's not the fun part, but it's the important part. Amen. But if we don't learn this point, and I am not saying that Jesse and I have figured it all out. There's sometimes you do something because, well, I'm just going to do it like this, and then God teaches you along the way, that was the right way to do it. Let me show you how. Amen. Listen. Well, no, I'll let that go. Psalm 16. Let's just read this. Verse 2. Out of the New Living Translation, Sir John. Said, I said to the Lord, David understood this. King David understood this. A man who never knew what it was like to lose. He said to the Lord, you are my master. Everything good I have came from you. You're my source. Everything good I have came down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. Go to Psalm 121, verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord. When I need something, I don't need to run necessarily to the bank, or I don't need to necessarily run to another job or to another provider. God is my provider. He is Jehovah or Yahweh, Jireh, my provider, the one who's already taken care of, the called the end from the beginning, and I don't need to run around hoping things come. My help comes from my source. Listen, beloved, if your source is your parents, then you're limited. If your source is your job, then you're limited. If your source is your spouse, then you're limited. If your source is your pastor, then you're limited. But when your source becomes the eternal creator, when your source becomes El Shaddai, the God of more than enough, when He becomes your source, then beloved, you will never find your place, you find yourself in a place of shortage in your life. Psalm 23 verse 1. You know this one? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We could really say it like this, because as a sheep, the shepherd's your source. Psalm 23 tells you that the shepherd causes us to lie down by green pastures. The shepherd leads us beside still waters. The shepherd restores our soul. The shepherd leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. The shepherd has prepared. He's the source of the table that is set before you in the presence of your enemy. The shepherd is responsible for our situation in life being overflowing and full. Therefore, I'll dwell in the house. I'm going to dwell with my source. I'm going to dwell in my source forever. Go to 1 Chronicles 29. I'm telling you, I can't make it through everything I'm going to hear. We may have to shortchange some things. But I want you to see that this is not something that is small. This is something that is not, well, Pastor Than, you know, most Christians, I love when people's, I don't love it, but when people's conversation starts with most Christians. I don't know any Christians, and most Christians don't live this way. That's why everybody feels like it's not God's will to prosper them. Because most Christians have their source as a lot of things, but not God. Religion will tell you you can't outgive God, and then nobody tries it. They use that phrase, you can't outgive God, for that $5 that they're trying to get out of your, prying out of your cold, dead hands. You can't outgive God if you've got that $5 bill and you need to give that in the offering. Well, listen. If you really honestly believe that you can't outgive God, why would you stop with the five unless legitimately you had nothing else? Pastor, that's not out of your, after your money, I'm after your heart. We've got to start, we got to change, we've got to shift our minds. We just got to shift it. And I'm saying that, I'm not saying this because I want your I want you to clean your wallets out every service. No, that's up to your source. He's your source, and he's going to let you know what you need to do. And if he tells you to give the five, give the five. See, if he doesn't tell you anything, that means he's left it in your hands to do what you want to do. So you get to name the seed. I used to tell people, I used to say, man, you listen to the Holy Spirit, and I only want you to do what you hear the Holy Spirit tell you to do. And then I learned one day that the Holy Spirit doesn't always give you an amount. Sometimes he just says, give. And he leaves the amount to you. What do you do at that point? Well, I got a 1, a 5, a 10, or a 20. The 1 would be too much. The 20 would be too little. The 20 would be too much. So I'm stuck with a 5 or a 10. And give it all. Give the 5 and the 10. Give the... I'm not trying to push. I'm simply saying that sometimes God just says, yeah, I want you to give. And you know you're supposed to give. What am I supposed to give? I didn't get an amount, so I didn't give. No, he was leaving it up to you. He was letting you decide what you give today. If you really believe he's your source, then you'd be okay with saying, you know what? I'm going to give it 20. I'm going to give the 30. I'm going to go ahead and give 36. That's some quick math right there. I'm going to go ahead and give 36, and I'm going to push this thing. Test me. See if I will not pour out. See if I will not do something. Go ahead. Don't hold back in your offerings. Don't hold back in your seed. Don't hold back. There's a harvest that's coming your way. And if you're not pressing in, if you're not pushing in with your seed, then there's not a chance in the world that you're going to all of a sudden break through in a harvest. Goodness gracious. What happens when Pastor Thad doesn't teach an offering teaching very much for the last year? When I preach on something financial, I preach on it. Are you in 1 Corinthians 29? Remember what 1 Chronicles 29 is about? It's about the giving, the offering that was taken by David. It was first of all his offering. Verses 3 through 5 is his offering where he gave literally, I think it's like $10 billion that he had saved up for the building of the temple. And then his men came and gave not even as much as he gave to the building of the temple. And then he said, people, come and give willingly. And the people came. And then after they came, David prayed a blessing over them. And notice what he said here in verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. I believe this is just King James Version, John. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is greatness and power and glory and the victory and the majesty and all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. I mean, that's telling us right there that everything that there is yours, God. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. He said it already in the book of Acts, and here he makes it very clear that God is the source of all riches and honor. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, in other words, whatever you need is in his hands. You need strength tonight? You need some energy tonight? It's in his hands. You need healing tonight? It's in His hands. You need financial increase? It's in His hands. Quit chasing all the things that are natural and just start chasing Him. Let's jump down to verse 14. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of Thee, and of Thine own have we given Thee. Everything we have is His. David said, You are the source of everything we have. Well, Pastor Thad, you know how many car payments I've made on my car? And I've almost paid enough where it's mine. Wrong thinking. Now listen, I'm not arguing semantics, okay? I'm not arguing semantics that it is yours. God has given us all things to enjoy. I'm not arguing that. But we're going to read here over in, I'll just go to Deuteronomy 8. Do you know why He gives us all things? To establish His covenant. And so God gives you raises. Not so that you can keep building your kingdom. Yes, buy a new house, renovations, new car. I'm not arguing that. But the reason you got it is because of covenant relationship with your source. I want to make sure you get that. The reason God gave you the raise, the reason God gave you the increase, wasn't so that you could get the bigger car. All the religious people are going, Amen, preach it. Joel Osteen needs to hear this. Kenneth Copeland, that's not what I said. The reason He gave it to you was because of covenant and establishing covenant. Look here, Deuteronomy 8. Verse 11. Why was David in a position to give so much in that offering? Because he understood God as his source. And he lived like God as his source. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. It says, Beware that thou forgettest not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command you this day. And again, we're going to touch on this in just a second. Again, I can't cover everything I'm going to cover here tonight, and I don't want to make it a two-week service, sermon, message. But notice here that we're dealing with, if God is your source, act like it. Don't just say it. Well, God is my source. You can't outgive God. Act like it then. How do you act like it? Well, here it tells us, in keeping His commandments, judgment, statutes, as I command you this day. Now here it says, Beware that you forget not, so that you do that stuff. Verse 12. Lest that when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and flocks multiplied, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forgettest the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt in the house of bondage. We're going to skip verse 15. Just tells everything that He did as their source. Verse 17. And thou shalt say in your heart, My power and my might and my hard work and my connections has gotten me this raise, has gotten me to the place that I am financially. Listen, I'm going to pause here a second. I believe the most amazing nurse in Moorhead, Kentucky, or in anywhere around this part is this young lady over here. Is my wife, Jessica. But as good as she is, what got her the increase and got her the raises and got her all that kind of stuff. Was it her work? Yeah, that goes with wisdom that we've been talking about on Sunday. Doing your best. That goes with that. Yes, that's good. But it was God. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west, which is people. It comes from the north, which is God. It was her connection and her obedience. And the thing that concerns God more than anything about blessing people that are not ready for it or who have not done things His way is that when they get blessed and when they get increased, that they will say, "Look what I did," and they'll forget Him. Because the only thing, you know, what Pastor Elisa said is so true. If just simply us being born again, going to heaven, and enjoying God's love, if that was all He ever promised us, that would be cool and that would be enough. I'd live it out. But it's not. But when it comes to... I'm trying to figure out exactly... Does anybody remember exactly what I was saying? Because sometimes I panic when I think, okay, where I was going with that, and then I just forget everything. But that would be enough. And it would be enough if God just, let's reverse that. That's where I was going. I hate when I do that, but sometimes I have my mind going 25 miles in different directions. But reverse that. God would say, if it could just be you and I. If all I had was you, that'd be enough. If it was just you and I, just by ourselves, intimate relationship, nothing else was the matter, that would be enough. But that's not His system either. But because He loves you that much, He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. And He will not, listen, because that would be enough, just you and Him, He will not give something to you. He will not bless you with something that you have not prepared yourself for. And so the thing that concerns Him more than anything is that you get too much and you forget where your source is. I mean, that's what it says. And thou say in thy heart, my power, my might has gotten me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that is your source to receive the power to get wealth. To establish His covenant, which He swore to His fathers as it is this day. He loves you too much to have you put Him second, third, fourth, or fifth, and to pour out all what He has for you on you. Because that's where you testify. It was easier than I thought. I didn't come to church. I worked every church service. I didn't come to church. I didn't pray. I didn't worship. I didn't talk to God ever. And look what I got. All right. Let's go a couple more here. What this passage tells us is that He does want to bless you. He wants to take care of you. But we've got to do things His way. That's making Him our source. You don't have to turn here. You know these. Psalm 23:6, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We got to make Him our dwelling place. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. Beloved, you got to put Him first. Got to seek Him first. That, but Pastor, that He is my source. I believe it. I've tithed every now and then. I've tithed in the past. I give when I can. He is my source. Acts tells us give. And then it'll be given unto you. I said Acts, Luke 6. Give, and then it'll be given unto you. Good measure. Press down. Malachi says, bring your tithe into the storehouse. Prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not pour out the windows of... I open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And that not enough. Psalm 37:4, delight. Delight doesn't mean just, you know, give him, you know, hey, God, it was good to see you. Came to church. Didn't pay attention, but came to church. Didn't sing, but I came to church. That's not delighting. But if we learn to delight, then our source gets big. Proverbs chapter 10 says, the blessing of the Lord, verse 22, maketh rich. And we don't have all the commotion that the world has. Let's go one more place. Go to Philippians 4 and I'll... Again, I started looking. I thought, okay, what's a couple scriptures I can share? And I was like, okay, I can't share them all. I had to have the Holy Spirit just kind of show me which ones I can share, because that's scripture. The scripture is about God created man and then said, I'm your source. Oh. And then Adam and Eve said, I know my source told me not to do something, but I know better. I'm going to make it different. Watch this. Watch this. Watch what I do, because it may not have worked for everybody else, but it's going to work for me. I'm going to go ahead and eat of the tree, and I'll show you that it's not going to, because it's just fruit. It's just fruit. Isn't it funny how people cheapen giving just after your money? It's just money. It's just. It's something that God says. Look, Philippians 4, verse 15. Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, we know our map up there, right? You sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired the gift. Again, when it's not about begging for money. Pastor Ted, he's preaching this because he needed the flood insurance money, and so he wants us all to make sure that we're feeling bad and that we give and we go, no, I'm not doing this. That was the furthest thing from my mind. I told you when I read that statement that he said, brethren, this is our source of prosperity. It's where our prosperity comes from. I looked at it and I goes, well, that's something, but surely that's not what God wants. And when you start reading on and you start telling God that that's not what you want, it gets real confusing. And so I knew that this was what it was supposed to be. But he said, I'm not preaching you. I don't talk about this kind of stuff because I desire the fruit that abounds, but I desire the fruit that abounds to your account. I'm fine. Why? I've learned whatever state I'm in to be content. I'm fine. Why? Because God's my source. We're gonna make this thing. We're gonna do this thing. I'm not worried about things. I abound. I am full. I've received Epaphroditus, the things which are sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, pleasing to God. But my God is your source, because you've done what you've done. That's not what it says. That is what it says. It's just I changed the wording a little bit. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory because you've done what you've done, because you've sown the seed. You identified God as your source by what you did with your finances. When no other church did, you operated in those finances, and you identified God as your source because of how you handled your money. And therefore, my source will take care of all your needs by the measure of his glory in heaven. There's a couple other I could read, but I'm out of time, and I want you to come back next week. But man, when I read that, the thought just hit me that I know too many Christians whose source is their job. Their source is the stuff that you can see with your hands. And they'll do anything within their power to not mess that up, even if it means messing up relationship with the one that should be the source. And so in reading that one phrase, men, you know that our prosperity depends on this business. My question to you is, where does your prosperity depend on? What is your prosperity? Where's your blessings? What does your bank account depend on? And I know we could argue, well, yes, it depends on my job. Your job is a resource. God is your source. Your places where you invest money is a resource. God is your source. And when that's lined up straight, then all these things shall be added unto you. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand together. The difference between those businesses in Ephesus is that they were losing business and losing wealth and losing money because of what was going on in that city. And yet the Apostle Paul was still prospering. Because when your source is set, that settles it. Amen? Heavenly Father, I love you. Hallelujah. I know when I have heard from heaven. And not all the time when someone hears from heaven is it what you would call a popular message that makes everybody excited. But sometimes the message doesn't have to be popular to change lives. It just has to be received. And sometimes the message says, is your source right? Are you trusting in the right things? You told us in Timothy that don't trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God. Make him your source. And so, Father, I come this evening, Father, to say, our desire is to do greater things. Our desire is to go into the greater for all that you have for us. And if we are going to do that, if we're going to live in the greater that you've provided for us, we are going to have to operate, understand, and live and be persuaded that God is our source. He is our more than enough. He is our eternal creator. He is our El Shaddai. He is our Yahweh. He is our answers. He is our provider. He is our healer. Because when he's our healer, when he's our source, everything else falls into place. So, Father, speak to our hearts. Quicken this in our hearts so that we can walk in what you said we could walk in. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name.